This is New Mexico's community-powered public radio, KUNM 89.9 Albuquerque Santa Fe, KRRT 90.9 Arroyo Seco Taos, KRRE 91.9 Las Vegas, KRAR 91.9 Española, and KBOM 88.7 Socorro, and online at KUNM.org.
Buenas tardes a todos. Hoy vamos a dar comienzo a nuestro programa Espejos de Aztlán. This afternoon we are going to have Espejos de Aztlán with two special interview guests, an special interview about land grants in New Mexico. My name is Cristina Bachín. Stay tuned. Land grants, Mercedes. These words are related with New Mexican ancestors. If you are a Hispanic descendant, maybe you are very interested in this topic. And this is about people whose rights on their community lands weren't respected. Mercedes, tierra y derecho a la tierra de uso comunitario son los tópicos que conversaremos hoy con dos invitados especialistas en el tema e involucrados muy personalmente en la problemática. This evening we have a Larry Manuel García y Griego. He's the Associate Professor of History and Chicano Studies at UNM and also Director of the UNM Land Grant Studies Program. Dr. García Griego, welcome.
Welcome. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for being here. And our other guest is Arturo Archuleta. He's the Chairman of the Board, Merced Land Education and Conservation Trust. He has worked on New Mexico land grant issues since 2004, even though he looks very, very young. And so welcome, Arturo, as well, for being with us this night and also for being ready to talk about such a hot and burning topic for New Mexicans.
Thank you. Thank you.
We have many things as I have been reading all the documents you sent, and it's kind of complex issue, but at the same time, I know human and persons are not like ancestors. They are live here. And I would like to share with our listeners, how are you personally involved in this topic of land grants? Because you yourselves are heirs of land grants in New Mexico, isn't it?
Yes, I'm actually an heir on both my mother and my father's side, and so this is something that's kind of been near and dear to my heart. Just growing up as a child, learning about the struggle, hearing from my father, from my grandfather, on both sides, really what the struggles.
Who were them? Tell me the names.
The names of my
yes.
So my dad, I'm a junior. So my dad's actually a Candido Arturo Archuleta. Senior, uh-huh. And he comes from Tierra Maria up north in northern New Mexico, and so I'm an heir to the Tierra Maria land grant on his side. And then also on my mother's side, Yolanda Candelaria was her maiden name, and so my grandfather, there were Candelarias from Manzano, the community of Manzano, which is south of Albuquerque on the East Mountain area, and it's that's where my mom's side comes from.
I'm from the Cañón de Carnuel land grant, and both of my parents are descendants, are heirs of the same land grant, which was established first in 1763, and then after having been abandoned, was reestablished in 1819, and has had an operating board of trustees, a mesa directiva, continuously since 1819.
Tell me their names.
Oh, my parents?
Yeah, or your grandparents.
Enriquez García and Agustina Griego.
Oh, well, that sounds better because it can look like, oh, I don't have anything to do with that. But just by listening your last names, whoever is on the other side of the radio, he or she can even know that they also have ancestors, as you were saying just before. If you have been living in this land, being a descendant of some Hispanic family, you might be also an heir of these community land grants you are fighting for, isn't it? What is a land grant or a Mercedes?
Well, land grants and Mercedes are a part of our history here in New Mexico, and they were actually grants of land given by first the Spanish government and then the Mexican government, and the purpose was to establish settlements here in New Mexico. And so we have kind of two main types of land grants, one being given to individuals for their personal use in establishing their own settlement. And then we also have what we're really involved with is community land grants. And those were grants of lands that were given to communities, numbers of families, to actually establish towns and communities here in New Mexico. And so the giving those lands were really important because they provided essentially the sustenance from which these communities were to take resources in order to survive and thrive as a community. And so everything's tied to the land. We're a land-based people here, and it's something that's real near and dear to us because it's actually meant survival.
The key thing to keep in mind is that when New Mexico became part of the United States in 1848, after the war with Mexico, in which the United States took about Mexico's northern, half of Mexico's territory in the north, including New Mexico and several other states, in New Mexico specifically at that time, virtually all of the population that was in settlements that lived in communities were land-grant communities. So that would include approximately 132 land-grants that were what we call Spanish-Mexican land-grants, of which, for example, Arturo and I are descendant of heirs from there. And another one that's not often taken into account is there were 22 or 23 Pueblo Indian communities. We're familiar with them today, San Felipe, Santo Domingo, Cochiti, Isleta, Santa Clara, so forth and so on. All of these were land grants as well, and they were Pueblo Indian land grants. And then the other important indigenous population at that time, which was not in settlements, would be the Navajos, Apaches, Comanches, Utes, essentially nomadic tribes that didn't have, that were at war with Spanish and Mexican governments, and that didn't have necessarily a single community that was recognized by those authorities.
As I could see, this is a long fight. It has been a fight for a very long time. And you mentioned in some of your documents that there was one that was the most recent one, the 90s. And I want to go and step in that time by throwing to our audience a song that they also might recognize, because it's about one of the land grants and one of the most well-known Hispanic ancestors, a Hispanic descendant who fought a lot for these kind of things, who was Roberto Mondragón.
Patria mía, nunca te podré olvidar. Eres la gran maravilla, hermosa estrella del mar. Dinamarca y la Turquía no te pueden igualar.
bella plaza de Antón Chico, patria donde yo me crié. La parroquia y el bendito donde yo me bauticé. Bello mi querido sitio, patrón señor San José. Si pasas por Antón Chico, verás hermosos.
This is a song that Roberto Mondragón composed about Antón Chico, patria mía. And I think this is also a topic. This was also a land grant he was fighting for, isn't it?
Well, it's actually the land grant that still has the largest land that it's been able to maintain. It's got a little bit over 100,000 acres still. It's located out towards the northeastern part of the state, just essentially south of Las Vegas and northwest of Santa Rosa.
And which other land grants can you identify in New Mexico? Where are these land grants we are talking about? More or less, because I guess it's a complex map.
Well, we actually have land grants that are spread out throughout the state. Really where you were able to have settlement was primarily located near water. The largest concentration of land grants is in northern New Mexico, around the Española and the Española Valley. We have some there up in Taos. We also have some land grants out to the west, going towards Grants. We have Antón Chico, as was mentioned, and some of the other land grants going out towards the east. We also have some of the land grants here in the East Mountains. There's land grants located here in Albuquerque. We have the Atrisco land grant. That's essentially the South Valley. Cañón de Carnuel land grant, which is in the canyon here in Tijeras Canyon. And we even had some land grants down in Las Cruces, although those are sort of not functioning as land grants anymore, but we did have some land grant settlements down there as well. So we're a pretty good spread around the state.
Of the 33 or so community land grants that still survive, the one further south is La Joya de Sevilleta, which is basically north of Socorro, that area near the Rio Grande Valley. And the furthest north would be Sangre de Cristo and also Tierra Maria, which actually extend into Colorado.
How many persons do you involve? Do you think it can be involved in this kind of land movement? I would say es un movimiento por la tierra.
Well, there are hundreds of people involved in it, although in terms of descendants of land grant heirs, I'd say half of the Latino population of New Mexico is probably a descendant of a land grant heir somewhere or other.
Why are you talking about community lands and instead of individual land grants? I want to really would like if you can really explain why are you focusing on community, which I think it's a very sensitive topic. You are not you are looking for community involvement and community lands. We would say in Spanish tierras de uso comunitario, tierras comunitarias. I just want to link it, if it is possible, with all the land movements that there are in Latin America. So I am guessing that there is some link there.
Well, the reason that we focus on community land grants is because these were really the towns that were established. And in fact, many of the land grants we have that were patented by the United States government after the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo in 1848, some of them were actually granted to the town of, for instance, to the town of Manzano, to the town of Atrisco. And so these communities, as a result of the land loss that they suffered for various reasons, had some devastating socioeconomic impacts that really hurt those communities, drove those communities into poverty. They no longer had access to the land and a way of life. And so our focus is really to how do we help those communities that still exist to this day get in a better place and actually make some progress and some gains, socioeconomic gains in the modern current day.
Land loss is part of the story of what we're talking about, and land loss had a huge impact in New Mexico in terms of the socioeconomic status of people. People that that resided here in 1848 when it became part of the United States essentially were land rich and cash poor, and today they're cash poor and land poor as well.
I'm going to listen another song that is again about the right for land, and this is about our singer tonight. It's Lila Dance, who comes from Oaxaca, and I think she's good at talking about our rights.
Tierra de luz.
And if you are just tuning in, this is Espejos de Aztlán. My name is Cristina Bachín, and we are tonight with two guests about talking about land grants, or Mercedes, the name in Spanish. We are with Larry Manuel García y Griego, the Associate Professor of History and Chicano Studies at the UNM, and also Director of the UNM Land Grant Studies Program, and Arturo Archuleta, Chairman of the Board of Merced Land Education and Conservation Trust. And we were just talking about past and also present. I would like to know more about which is the organization you are holding. It's holding all together the descendants and heirs of New Mexico land grants.
Well, when we actually talk about community land grants in the present context of today and kind of the current movement of what's going on, there's actually several different organizations that you're really looking at. One, you look at the individual land grants themselves, and they have a board of trustees that are, many of those are now recognized as units of government in the state of New Mexico. And then we also have, you know, the heirs that make up the membership that elect those individuals to serve on the board. Then we also have, originally we had the Land Grant Forum that kind of brought land grants together in the late 90s, early 2000s. Out of that was born the Merced Land Education and Conservation Trust, which was formed as a 501c3 nonprofit to try to provide technical assistance and really help kind of bring land grants into kind of the future, the current context of what our needs were. And from that was formed the New Mexico Land Grant Consejo, which is an organization that is really an advocacy organization made up of membership from various land grants that choose to participate. They appoint a delegate essentially to serve on that organization and help kind of guide and direct a policy as it relates to land grant both at the state and the federal level. We also have the New Mexico Land Grant Council, which is a state agency that was created by the New Mexico legislature. And that's actually a council that looks at dealing with land grant communities and helping provide technical assistance to the units of government.
If you're just hearing from listening radio from the other side, this looks like a very complex quantity of organizations. Just give me one that I could then try to find more information. The one you are organizing with these 30 Mercedes members, what's the name?
Well, the one probably to contact it is the one that has a website, and that's the Land Grant Consejo, and the web address is landgrantcouncil.org is the web address for it. And there's a wealth of information on that website about community land grants in the state, about governance issues, about the history of these land grants, and other information like that.
And this consejo, which I'm just wondering, the council, but now I want to talk about the consejo, the one where you are working with. And once you recover your lands, there is a long way to go, I guess, but we can be optimist that these rights that have been have not been respected for a long time, we can say from the Treaty of Guadalupe, they were not respected, and I guess everybody has that feeling, and it's not only feeling. What do you think you could do with those community land grants that you are thinking about that can encourage people to work more for this issue?
Well, I think before we talk about what we might do with that with land recovery, it would be useful to recognize that there are things that land grants are doing right now. And they have a number of projects that they're all involved in. Each land grant is unique in terms of its how much land it has, what its circumstances are, what its projects are. Most try to put together community programs for heirs. Some of them do tutoring. Others do social events, things of that nature. Most land grants have some kind of economic development project where they're trying to develop an income stream by renting, for example, their hall or promoting a particular project within the common lands that they have. And you've been working with one, Chilili, which has actually accomplished an enormous amount of things in the last few years.
Yeah, I mean, just as an example of work being done in a community land grant that still has common land and is able to actually utilize that common land for their community, they have forest thinning projects where they actually thin the forest for forest health. At the same time, they're employing their heirs. They were able to receive a grant, and to date, they put about $200,000 back into the community in jobs for actually folks to stay working in their community. They've also working on establishing an affordable housing project on some of their common lands to actually ensure that, our people don't just end up buying mobile homes and living in mobile homes or in apartments and not having a place to live or having to be displaced and move into the city for homes and for opportunity. And so I think there's a lot of different land grants that are working towards those goals.
And when we are talking about lands, it's not only land, it's our land and water. Isn't
of course,
it?
Yes. In most land grants have or had water rights as well as common lands. And the other thing that is ongoing right now and that points towards the future is community land grants seeking to get access to former common lands for traditional uses. And that would include, we're actually in the process right now of meeting with the U.S. Forest Service to talk about possible stewardship agreements for the National Forest with some of the land grants within the historic common lands of their community land grants that are now part of the forest. But there are other things that we've been in conversations with them about, including access to federal lands, and particularly forests and BLM lands where there might be religious sites. Land grants have some cemeteries. San Joaquin de Rodechama has a cemetery, for example, located in wilderness land, if you can believe that.
Impossible.
So all of these are issues that we're still working on.
And if people want to locate you in some address, which contact information can we give them? We want also to tell our listeners, if they want, they can just post on our KUNM.org in our Espejos link. You can leave your comments. You can also write to Raices@KUNM.org. We can also mediate for the contact with our guests. And also,
the Land Grant Studies Program can be contacted by phone at 277-2965. But it would be best to contact us through email, and that's LGSP, as in Land Grant Studies Program, @unm.edu. So I'll repeat that, LGSP@unm.edu and 277-2965. Thank you very much for the opportunity to talk about this.
No, thank you for coming. Thank you, Arturo.
Thank you.
Do you want to wish something else? As you are the youngest in this room, we wish that you are fighting for your rights of the and also for the next generations to come.
Oh, that's correct. I mean, I think everything we look at is really, it's got to be long-term generational. And I don't look at just for me, but I look at for my kids and my kids' kids. And so really just to continue the struggle and ensure that we can do better for our communities.
Thank you so much to both. And we'll invite you to stay tuned because just in 2 minutes, you'll have Raices with our host, Luis Head, and also Danilo Perez as part of the interview he's going to hold for you.
Lecho de trabajo y penumbra, barricada y cielo es mi tierra, sombra que me alumbra. Mi tierra